And now we will read from Psalm 138. Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and they and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So far the readings.
I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. O congregation, we come to church on Sunday, we meet with the shepherd. It is him who speaks through the word. And it is him who gathers the sheep of his pasture this morning in the midst of all our wilderness journeys and struggles of daily life and busyness of family and work and all the distractions. To be honest, I'm having more of an insight in that in these last couple of weeks than I've probably had in the last couple of years, as I spend a fair bit of my time in these last weeks with stuff that I usually don't busy with. You know, good stuff, earthly stuff. The work that you people do all day, as you work out in the shop or in the field. And I begin to realize how often that can distract you from God and from the things of God. Maybe I don't recognize it enough. As a pastor, I sit there with the Word, and I'm busy with the Word, and busy with people and their souls. And so it was a good and a somewhat eye-opening experience these last weeks, and I'm sure the next weeks will not be any better. And that made me long for this hour, because hopefully now I don't have to think about moving and packing and sorting. And maybe you have that too sometimes when you come to church. You say, I just look forward to being separated from all the things. And that is what church is for. That's why it is good to prepare for it and to pray that God may help our minds to be not so distracted. But now let's think. The shepherd is here. And he says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I know what distractions. I know what fears. I know what weaknesses. I know your history. I know what makes you afraid or worried or sad. I know these things. I know my sheep. This is an incredible, beautiful statement, isn't it? He knows the struggles. He knows where you've wandered to this week also. He knows you've maybe gone astray and been not very watchful at the shepherd's voice in your heart and conscience. He knows that. And that's why he desires to gather us here and to take, as it were, his church back. And he seeks also those who have not yet learned to know him. Remember other sheep I have that don't know me yet, that don't seek me yet, that don't value me yet. And they're not only out there, but also here in this church. So take heed to listen to the shepherd this morning. Jesus is a shepherd. He knows his sheep. Maybe you feel ashamed this morning. Or maybe you feel fearful, though needy. You know, the shepherd also knows how he feels, right? He feels love. Everlasting love. He says in Jeremiah, "With an everlasting love have I known thee and drawn you." That love hasn't diminished. Even though his sheep don't act very nice, that love is strong as ever. And as we think this week about preparatory time for the Lord's Supper, the shepherd wants to gather his sheep around this table next week, Sunday. The shepherd wants to speak to us. The shepherd wants to show to us, look how I loved you. The shepherd wants to share with us again. I laid down my life for you. I'm not going to ask now the second question that Aubrey follows up out of that. And what will you do for me? But let's focus first on what he has done. And at the Lord's Supper, but in the preaching as well, he wants to let us feel his love. He has desires too, this shepherd. He says, I am known of mine. I know my sheep, but they know me too. You know what the desire of the shepherd is? That you know him more. That you trust him more. That you wouldn't sit there shaking and quaking about the things and the storms of your life. Why would you fear? Where is your faith? He desires to be more known by us. His sheep, and by other sheep. And we would be more content to rejoice, to trust in him, but also that we would rejoice more. Be ye glad, ye righteous. Be ye glad and rejoice and shout for joy. You know, Jesus wants to see his sheep joyful, not with their hands and their shoulders down, but their heads uplifted. I'm known of mine. He wants to know that you know him so that you would rejoice in him. And that's why he stoops down again at this table of the Lord to speak to us in a very personal and visible manner. And he would certainly want us to follow him better. Why would we follow other shepherds? And why would we? But then comes the question, am I one of his sheep then? Am I one of those sheep? Well, that's maybe where we this morning find an answer in our text word from Psalm 138. 138 verse 6 is our text in which the shepherd speaks and shares his care for the lowly. And those are his sheep, particularly. Now, Psalm 138, we don't know at all what the occasion was, why David wrote it, so we'll just leave that as an unknown. But it's a beautiful psalm in which David prays in the first two chapters, verses. He speaks personally, notice, I will praise, I will worship. He speaks in verse 3 about that he has cried and God has answered and strengthened him and enabled him again to take up his journey. He speaks in verse 4 and 5 in faith about what is going to happen on this earth, that even the kings of the earth shall praise him. And in verse 6, he gives instruction as the prophet. Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Maybe he spoke it more to himself as well. Because notice in verse 7, he goes on in the first person. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Thou wilt perfect what concerns me. So maybe David also struggled in that psalm with some trouble. Verse 7. So this morning, let's look at verse 6 particularly. The shepherd's care for the lowly. Who are the lowly? And who may and must believe in the shepherd's and caring nearness? What do they fear? And how does the shepherd eye them or look upon? Who are the lowly? And isn't that a beautiful verse? Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly. Are you lowly? If you are, then read what it says. Then he is looking with you with respect. Now we'll have to explain what that word means, of course. Lowly. The lowly, obviously, are people who have some low thoughts of themselves on account of their sin. I bolded that on my sketch. On account of their sin. There's a lot of depressed people out here today in the world. That's a common sickness. Depression. There's a lot of people who feel very low about themselves. They have no self-worth. They're very low. There are people who feel traumatized or afflicted and feel low because of the circumstances of their lives. And that's low feeling. That's a real need. And there are plenty of those, probably more than ever, in our sophisticated, prosperous society. We are just battling with massive amount of needs, psychological needs. Those people are low. I mean, all these young people that are taking their lives and the many that don't are low, aren't they? But we cannot just apply that to them, this verse, that it says, though God has respect unto the lowly. A lot of these people, friends, do not seek the Lord in their affliction. It speaks that in Isaiah 9, for example. These are lowly people who are struggling with the issues of life. Isaiah 9, verse 13. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries. Sorry, verse 13. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. There's a lot of people with their lowliness who do not seek it where they need to seek it. That doesn't, of course, mean that there is no help in medical methods and so on. But ultimately, the real needs can only be met by God. So, don't just take this verse this morning when you have depression and you feel low and you feel struggling with life circumstances and say, oh, that is encouraging. Yes, the Lord wants to be near to you and the Lord wants you to seek him in those needs. But if you are going to define the lowly, you have to define it in the verse. Now let's look at the verse. There's a contrast in the verse. He has respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. So to define the lowly, it is defined by the opposite, the proud. This is going to help us understand what God is meaning with the word lowly. The proud. Who are proud people? People that have a good opinion of themselves. Those are people, young or old, who know it all. Know it better than others. They are proud of their strength and their beauty. People that are proud are self-satisfied. They're pretty happy with themselves before God and before man. Of course, we can't be perfect, but, you know, we are still pretty good. Proud people, they compare themselves to others and they always get out on top. They always are finding others that they are finding less good. Even though they are smart enough not to say that. This is not very socially accepting to say that. But we think it. Proud people. Let's look at yourself and at myself. Let's look in our heart. Proud people are self-sufficient. Instead of poor and needy. Proud persons, friends, they do not stand before God and say, I loathe myself, Lord, on the account of my pride. It's obviously only the humble that struggle with pride. But the proud don't. Now there are the contrast. God says, He knoweth the proud afar off. That means God knows them. Of course He knows them, but He stands far off. He doesn't speak and communicate to them. He's not intimate with them. He doesn't let people see in His heart. He does not speak to them. He says, He doesn't come close. He doesn't admit them either to the nearness of His heart. And He eventually will deal with the proud. Because the proud are an abomination to Him. God hates the pride in man. And let's be warned about that. This proudness which defies the Almighty and which speaks against Him. Listen to what God says. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So that's what it means, right? He will not be. He's not near to them. He knoweth them afar off. Here's another verse. Psalm 34, verse 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's against you. But the lowly. He respects the lowly. That's a whole different breed of people. The lowly are those of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. I'll read you one more verse before we look at that. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Lowly. As a fruit of the Holy Spirit, opening your eyes for who you are, discovering what lives within, shedding light on every action that may look nice to people, God then begins to communicate to sinners the wrong of their heart. And congregation, when the Holy Spirit does that, you get a radically different assessment of yourself. That's a common denominator in the kingdom of God where the Spirit works. You are assessing yourself and you slowly on going to edge closer to what Paul said. I am the chief of sinners. If you're not getting closer to that, please do not think the Holy Spirit is working in you. That's a radical statement, isn't it? But that is a truth. Where the Holy Spirit is working, He moves people closer and closer. And they'll finally disagree with the Apostle Paul. Finally. Don't start that way, but finally. He said he's the chief of sinners. But where God's work graces, we'll go on to say, Paul, I'm sorry. That's the only portion of Scripture I disagree with you. I take that position. That's the lowly. Now we're not there in the beginning of our journey. But as God opens our eyes more and more, we become that broken heart and contrite spirit. Let's listen to the lowly. How do they speak within themselves? I'm no good. I'm an unworthy person. Because I see I become short of the glory of God in everything I do. Does that echo your heart? I have absolutely no righteousness in my life. Because everything I do is unclean. My prayers, they're not even worthy the name prayer. That's the lowly. He sees sin in all he does. I have such a sinful nature. There are so many God-dishonoring aspects in my heart and in my life. You would never know, but I know. The lowly struggles with the package that they cannot put off. Oh, wretched man that I am. Lowly. Now, to those God has respect, he says. The lowly. They say, you know what? I hate that sin. I fight that sin. I am doing all not to go to that sin. And yet I keep falling in it. I can't overcome it. That's bosom sin. And I cry about it. And I seek the Lord. And I cannot get beyond it. The lowly is battling in his own inner chambers, seeing no progress perhaps in his own holiness at all. And finally beginning to realize, I got no rights before God. The lowly. You know what's so beautiful? It says in our text, though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly. The lowly have very low thoughts of themselves. And they have high thoughts of God. That always goes together. Come, how do you think about God? Look at the psalm. Is this your echo of your psalm, verse 1? I will praise thee with my whole heart. Does it ever live? Do you ever get up in the morning like that and say, Lord, I will praise you with my whole heart? You don't get far, but does it live there? High thoughts of God? Is God the precious, dear subjects of your songs? Because we like music, we like singing. Is that the one who you like to hear singing about and singing to? I will praise thee, oh my God. As you tune in, is that the song? I will worship thee towards thy holy temple. Now let's take the temple for Jesus Christ right now. I will worship thee for Jesus Christ. It's that temple of God, Jesus, as he has come to this earth. Indeed, the focus of your worship in private, in public here today. I will praise thy name, O God, for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, thy faithfulness. Is this the echo of your heart? I'm low of myself, but Lord, thou art so high. Thou art so good and so exalted. This God is so awesome. And the more I get to know him, the more I am exalting him in my heart and in my mouth. Now, that's the lowly. Low of himself, but high of God and high in his praises. Now, is the revelation of Jesus as the Lamb of God more and more precious? As he says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's a hard verse. That's a difficult one to expound. I agree. Thou hast magnified thy word. And I think the word there is Christ. Above all thy name. Finally, when that name of Christ and that person of Christ, Lord, has come out of the foreground, as it were, that has magnified everything. So, the text says, though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly. So now we have identified the lowly. Let's in the second place look, what do those lowly fear? Well, the lowly can be filled with a great fear to draw near to God. They often stand afar off. It's especially true for those who are babes in the understanding of the gospel. Why do they stand afar off? Why do they fear so often? Well, they ask this question, how can I believe that's true for me? This gospel message. They struggle with the fear to presume. They struggle with the fear to steal the precious gospel thanks and say, oh, who am I to think that I can receive those promises? They may feel all unclean and they struggle to believe. Now again, if those struggles are entirely foreign to you, please put a question mark behind your spiritual comforts. Because everywhere in the Psalms and in the Scriptures, you read God's saints filled with this tenderness, struggling often to believe. It's not just one and one is two, is it? They cry and they call and they feel often this distance, so fearful, especially in the beginning of their journey. Maybe that's what made this John Newton write this so undying hymn. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Amazing. That first word captures the lowly's struggle. And yet, the shepherd is here this morning, and he's wanting to say to the lowly, though I am high, and though you are low, I have a respect to you. I see you. The lowly, they fear. They fear often to draw nigh to God because they see God so high. The Lord is high. He is high. He is indeed so exalted and majestic. And they say, I feel so unfit to be in this holy majesty of God and to be in this holy greatness of God. I feel unfit. Now, I stand afar off because I don't dare. Oh, I long, I hunger. My heart crieth out after the living God, but I'm so afraid to come near and to join the people of God. I don't have that freedom because He is so high and so holy and I am so unholy. See, this is the struggle of the lowly. The lowly says, I fear I would abuse His goodness and His grace offered in Jesus Christ. I fall so often in the same sin. My tongue. My worry. My forgetfulness of God when I get carried away by all the things of this life. My evil and impure thoughts. My backsliding and my devotion. My love. I come so terribly short. I can never live up to what I want to live up. The lowly fears these things and struggles with these things. And they think, I will be abusing His grace. To go every time to the mercy seat and say, oh God, forgive me again. I'm afraid I make it cheap. By going so often, I fear. Maybe you struggle with that. You say, well, I have to go there 10 times every hour. How can I do that? And I feel that He is so high and I am so low. And maybe I'm just abusing the blood of Jesus. When every time I fall, I come to the mercy seat to ask, wash me and cleanse me. That's the struggle of the lowly. Maybe the lowly struggles thinking there is no willingness in God to receive me because I am so guilty. I feel so cold, so unmoved. I don't have the feelings of humility. I don't have the measure of sorrow. I don't feel tender as I ought to feel. I have nothing. And yet I don't dare to deny that I strive sincerely to be different. I am never happy with myself before God. I always want more godliness to serve Him. See, congregation, that echo at all the struggle of the lowly, the struggles by which he or she battles through this journey. I lose sight of the shepherd, maybe. Maybe that's what you must acknowledge this morning. I get so quickly busy. Well, that may be true, but let me comfort you. The shepherd never loses sight of his sheep. Though they often lose his sight or their sight on him, the Lord, though he be high, has respect unto the lowly. Let's sing together before we look at that last thought. 398. I'll sing all three verses. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. And what follows in 398, 1, 2, and 3. Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly. The proud he knoweth afar off. We've seen that the lowly opposite to the proud. And now is a Hebrew parallelism. So Hebrew authors and the poets often expound the one sentence in contrast or in additional material in the second line. And this psalm is a beautiful example of it. Now we have defined the lowly by the proud. Now what does it mean? He has respect. Well, that stands over against knoweth afar off. He has respect. That means he is near. He observes with an attentiveness every move, every need of his sheep. I just pictured that shepherd standing with his eyes on that on those sheep in the wilderness. And he has respect unto those sheep. He sees them struggle. He sees them fearful. He sees them needy, thirsty, but in this case, lowly. And dear friends, God smiles on you if you are one of such. He smiles on you. Yeah. Let's listen to his word elsewhere where he speaks in the first person. He says, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him or her that's of a contrite and a humble spirit. And in chapter 66 of that same book, Isaiah, though he has his throne in the heavens and we are on his footstool, he says, and I will look even to this man that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembleth at his word. And in Psalm 147, he adds more to it. He says, and I have a pleasure in those that fear me and that hope on my mercy. So I have every reason to say that the shepherd smiles at you when you are one of those lowly. No, it's not because he doesn't see sin in you. No, that's not why. He doesn't have respect on you because he sees you are worthy. He sees something in you. He put himself into you. That's where he can find his pleasure and his delight. Because the lowly, they bear the marks of grace. His grace. That's why he's nigh to them. And he is finding pleasure in those. Now, he does respect them. And he observes them. Because they honor him in his glory. The eye of that trembling heart that worships him, that bows down before him and says, Lord, thou art so great and so good and so unbelievably praiseworthy to a man like me. My friend, that's the heart he dwells with. That heart that sinks down at his feet at the end of the day and says, oh my God, I have completely failed again in every part of my life today to honor thee and to serve my neighbor. And I am sorry, O God, to confess it to thee, that I made nothing of it again, and I appeal for the blood. That's the soul he has respect to. And he dwells with. And the proud who roll in their bed at night without a single tear and a single sigh, he knows a far off. See, that's the beauty of this text. He has a deep respect to those lowly who are seeking to want to devote their time, their effort, their mind, their heart to him. Isn't it amazing? In the world they don't count. And in the world's eyes they're not worthy of anything. But in God's eyes, those are the ones I look at. That's the one my eye is resting on. I am having respect to the lowly. Because he takes pleasure in his own work. Notice in verse 8 of this psalm, the Lord will perfect that concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Lift it up, friend. If you have felt in your heart a bitter taste of sin, and you have learned to hate sin, praise God for the work of his own hands. That's never growing in a natural mind without grace. If you've learned to see in your own heart that there's nothing you can bring before God, for all is utterly vain and unclean and unrighteous, but your eye have learned to look on Jesus and have found him pleasing, and you may tell him, Lord, forsake not the works of thy own hands. For no natural heart will ever hunger after Jesus. None. That's his work. And therefore he has respect unto those lowly that are crawling to him, as it were, every day again, needy, crying for that grace. Oh, those that humble at his feet, truth, Lord. I am but a dog, an unworthy one. But who stretch out their hands in pleading, have thou mercy upon me, and cannot stay away from him. Though he answers not a word, and though he excludes you out of the scriptures, truth, Lord, be assured that he has an eye on you, because that's his own work. That's not man's work. That's Christ's work through the Spirit. And he has an eye on them because he knows how fragile and weak you are. He knows our frame. He knows and remembers that we are dust. He knows that sheep feel vulnerable. He knows that we're afraid of the dark alleys. He knows that we often get forgetful and look for something indulging that we ought not to follow. He knows all that. He knows that his children are bent to backsliding. He knows they cannot face the reality of life and be spiritually minded 100% of the day. They know, he knows that. But he also knows how they struggle with that. And therefore, he has respect unto such. He said, well, how can he have such a respect and be so near and have such a pleasure in all that which still lives in my heart? He doesn't. He has no pleasure in your sin. That grieves him. But he has a pleasure in the work of Christ and in the work of the Spirit. And that's why he can have respect unto the lowly. So, it's a sweet text. It's the sweet shepherd this morning wanting to reassure his lowly gathered in this church that as this week has approached again, when he wants this coming Sunday to meet with his people here at this table, that we don't look at anything of ourselves. But we look only to Christ, to this lowly shepherd. Lowly? Yeah, he said that himself. I am meek and lowly of heart. See? That's why he respects the lowly. It's fruit of his own work. Maybe you say, I don't feel him near. I don't sense his presence as before. He is so hidden now. I used to have so much taste of God's nearness, but he's so far from me. How can I believe that there's anything of God in my heart? You know, it is possible indeed that God feels far from you, and He may be training you to live by faith rather than by sight. It's a very difficult thing to be weaned from the feeling life. Babies don't like that, calves don't like that, sheep or lambs don't like that, but also God's people don't like that. But it's very necessary if you grow up in faith that God weans you from the feelings to teach you to live by faith. So here's a text. Though the Lord be high, yet has He respect unto the lowly. We need to learn to believe His promises. But secondly, and that's what this week is for, it's possible that God is standing afar off because He sees something in your life that's not very kosher, not very pleasing. God does not have communion with those who live in sin. So, if you struggle again and have not felt that nearness of the Lord, do not suspect Him. There is not one who desires communion more with His people than Jesus Himself and His Father. But then ask yourself, Lord, is it me? Show me. But I don't have those hard exercises as I should have. I'm not that broken. I'm not that humble. I don't have that same amount of godly sorrow as I sometimes read about. That loathing of myself that others may have spoken of. I don't have that lively faith or that strong confidence and rejoicing in God. I cannot say these things. So am I welcome to come to God then? Am I welcome indeed to seek Him? Oh, yes. Because of things that you miss. They're not the fruits of your own doing. The things that you miss and pour in is really not your creation. It's Jesus' work. And, you know, you got more reason to go to Him if you feel spiritually you're missing every qualification. That's why He came, congregation. That's why the shepherd came, to minister Himself. And every grace needed. No, the fruits of spiritual life definitely are necessary, but they're not the gate of permission to come to Christ. We must come to Him to have those very spiritual things that we miss. Now, don't come to the Lord's Supper if you do not have any faith in Him. If Jesus Christ has never become the only name precious, where it has become hunger and thirsting after Him, that's certainly a qualification in order to eat and to drink profitable, isn't it? So I don't have time anymore to read the first half of the formal. I have to do that maybe on Wednesday or next week Sunday morning. But let us read it ourselves. Begin there this week with reading that first half if you have anything to examine there. And may the Lord so bless us in this week for His name's glory. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful Shepherd, it was a sweet word this morning that we together meditated on and heard Thy voice. Thou said that Thou art near to them and hast respect to the lowly. Come, Lord, gather Thy lowly and lay them at Thy bosom and speak to their souls with the comfort and strength of Thy Spirit. They may learn to rejoice and have trust that Thou wilt revive Thy own work, though we walk in the midst of trouble. And bless, O Lord, this hour that we've been in Thy presence, strengthening us again to go on in the journey of this day and of this week. We pray all this undeserved. In Jesus' name, amen.